the children, kindergarten through fifth grade, to head out and meet with Prudence. And as they go, Lord Jesus, I pray your blessing upon these children and give Prudence all that she needs to teach, lead, and mentor them for the glory of your name. Amen. And now I invite you to pray with me and for me. Lord God, take my words this morning and speak through them. Take our hearts this morning and speak to them. Holy Spirit, bring conviction to our hearts through your living word and initiate healing and transformation in our lives. All for the glory of your great name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, today is the fourth Sunday in our study of the Holy Spirit. If you've missed any of the previous three sermons, I want to encourage you to go back through our website and listen to them. We have discussed three important realities about the Holy Spirit in these past 3 weeks. First, that the Holy Spirit is a person, one with the Father and with the Son. Second, that the Holy Spirit is with and in every person who believes in Jesus. And thirdly, that the Holy Spirit is at work in every person who follows Jesus, seeking to heal, change, and reform us from within in the midst of our struggle against our flesh, against our sinful nature. Today, we're going to discuss the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, in week one, we touched on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, as mentioned in the first part of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In that sermon, we focused on the activity of the Holy Spirit, who gives gifts to individuals as he wills or as he apportions, all for the common good. So it is the person of the Holy Spirit who, by your faith in Jesus Christ, is with you and lives in you, who will give you his gifts for the common good, for the good of others. I think you're all aware that my oldest child, Dan, was married to Nicole a little over a week ago on October 16th. It was a glorious celebration. Thank you for your prayers for that special couple and that special day. They made a decision as they dated to seek to honor the Lord and to be different from the culture. So they determined not to live together until they were married. They moved what furniture they had and the things that they had into their new apartment a month before their wedding, but only one of them lived there. But it was also to that address that all of the gifts from their bridal registry were delivered. So they made a second decision not to open any of their gifts until after the wedding. Well, as more and more gifts arrived, this is what it looked like in their kitchen. It was just a pile of boxes that took over a section. They would meet together after work and eat off paper plates with plasticware, knowing that in that pile of boxes were new dishes. They tracked their registry. They knew there were dishes in there. They knew there was silverware in there and special cups, but they didn't use them. I share this story to give you a picture of what bountiful provision can look like as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So my first point this morning is that the Holy Spirit does give gifts. There's no doubt of this. Today we read the second half of 1 Corinthians 12, where we heard Paul describing God has appointed in the church first apostles, then prophets, then teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and all and various kinds of tongues, detailing some of the gifts. But in our first sermon a couple weeks ago, we read the first part of chapter 12, and I want to read you that part to remind you. Paul wrote, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. For to one is given through the Spirit wisdom, to another knowledge, to another faith, to another, gifts of healing, to another, working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another, various kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. A broad list of different spiritual gifts. Verse 11 summarizes saying all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions, who chooses to give to each one individually as he wills. So in hearing the scripture, you should have no doubt that every follower of Jesus Christ has received gifts, perhaps more than one gift. Every one of you has received gifts from the Holy Spirit. My second point, and this is also Paul's second point in the midst of 1 Corinthians 12, is that we're all different as we're members of the body of Christ, and we all don't receive the same gifts. Paul declares we're all members of Christ's body and that we're different with these differing gifts. Paul goes on to mention the hand, the ear, and the eye, three different parts of the human body. But he says they form one body even though they're different and they have different functions. Paul concludes with verse 20, which we read this morning. As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. So in Christ, we are members of his body. We receive his gifts and we remain distinct from one another. We're different. Now, hearing that we all receive gifts, well, in our human nature, that begs the question, what did we get? Just like children on a holiday, or Dan and Nicole as they ate dinner beside those boxes, we all want to know, what did we get? In Christian circles, much energy and effort is expended to try to determine exactly what our spiritual gifts are. We want to know, so we look for tests, we look for surveys, we look for tools that will tell us what have we received. This week, in week 4 of our study of the Holy Spirit, you're going to have the opportunity to read all 5 lists in the New Testament, lists of the gifts that the Spirit has offered and that the Spirit gives. And as you read those lists, you're naturally going to evaluate, what have I been given? What gifts have I received? And that's an important exercise for you to do regularly, to pray and evaluate what gifts the Spirit has given to you, and to seek to cooperate with him in his use of those gifts through you. Now, I want to suggest to you today that knowing what gifts you have is not as important as who you have. I want to say that again because this is my third and final point of my sermon. What you have is not as important as who you have. Now, of course, what you have is important. You've received gifts from the Holy Spirit. So it's important for you to open those gifts, not to leave them set aside in the corner unopened. Open your gifts and know what they are. But I repeat, what you have received is not as important as who you have received. Who lives in you? You can have spiritual gifts from the Lord, but they're not of any value or use without the Spirit who is in you by your faith in Jesus Christ, because it's the Spirit who gives the gifts and the Spirit who empowers you and guides you and directs you in the use of those gifts for the common good, as Paul wrote. For the good of the church, for the good of the kingdom of God, for the good of those around you who don't know Christ yet and who are looking for something. Here are a few things that I've learned about the gifts of the Spirit in my own walk. I've learned spiritual gifts are not like possessions. They're not accumulated like collectibles to be stored in a spiritual closet and accessed when we're ready to use them, kind of like tools. Because we're not in charge. It again comes back to who is in us as followers of Jesus. The Spirit lives in us. He is in charge. Another thing I've learned is that some spiritual gifts you'll be aware of for a long time in your life. You'll be aware for a long period. This is one of the gifts that God's given to me. And then there are other gifts that are given to you just in time, just when you need them, or just when the Lord leads you to do something and you think, you're asking me to do what? And then, as you step out in obedience, He provides. He gives you what you need. Elijah is a great example of this. We heard part of his story from 1 Kings chapter 17 this morning. Elijah is known to be one of the great prophets. But before 1 Kings chapter 17, we don't know anything about him. He was just a man. Made me wonder, had he prophesied for the Lord before, maybe in his local congregation? Did he know that he had this gift of prophecy? We don't know. All we know is that as chapter 17 begins, Elijah is just there. We know that he worships the Lord. He's got a relationship with God. And that Elijah was available and willing for the Lord to use him. In the previous chapter, Ahab became king of Israel. And Ahab married Jezebel, a priestess of some pagan religions, of the worship of Baal. And Ahab led Israel to worship Baal and Asherah. It's recorded that Ahab did more to provoke the Lord to anger than all of Israel's kings before him. There were some not so good kings before him, and yet Ahab was an example of the worst. He was not a good man. He was not a God-following leader. And it's there that Elijah enters the scene. Chapter 17, verse 1. And he announces to the king of Israel the Lord's intentions and judgment. He says to Ahab in 17, chapter 1, there shall be no neither dew nor rain these years except by my word. He had received a word from the Lord, and he said, there's going to be drought because of the way you're behaving. Now, prophecy is a gift of the Holy Spirit. We know this. It's noted in scriptures. Whether Elijah had it or whether he was given it just in time, that's irrelevant. It was the Lord who was with Elijah who gave him that gift. And Elijah trusted the Lord and followed the Lord's prompting to use it, even before a king who could have him killed. It's then that we come to our scripture from this morning, the second half of 1 Kings 17. Elijah had been staying with a Gentile widow and her son, and the son falls ill and dies. Now take a look at what happens. In verse 19, he said to her, give me your son, after he realizes that he's dead. And he took him from her arms and carried him to the upper chamber where he lodged, laid him on his bed. And then he cried out, oh Lord my God, why have you brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I sojourn by killing her son? It's clear Elijah doesn't have a plan here. This was not what was supposed to happen. It's clear he doesn't have the gift of healing in his spiritual closet. He doesn't know what to do. But he knows who is with him, so he cries out. What is going on? He cries out in desperation and confusion. Then in verse 20, we read that he tries to warm the boy. Or verse 21, he stretches him out, stretches himself upon the child three times, trying to revive him. But then he cries out in the second half of verse 21, O Lord my God, let this child's life come into him again. This is where the Lord hears him, where the Lord brings the boy back from death. This is a powerful story, and I so appreciate Roy demonstrating a proper response to this kind of miraculous intervention by the Lord. It wasn't what Isaiah did, but it was the Lord who was with Isaiah. This was a miracle never seen before in the biblical record. No one had ever been raised from the dead biblically. And of course, some might say now, well, Elijah has the gift of healing, but we don't see it used again. We see it used here. The Spirit gave to Elijah when it was needed. And here again, we see a reminder that who is in you is more important than what gifts you have. Think about Elijah. Think about this. He's brand new to this role as prophet as he stands against the depraved and mighty king of Israel that wants to kill him. In this situation, Elijah is helpless. And then he sees God answer this prayer. He cries out in hopelessness. God answers him. Can you imagine how that would have encouraged and emboldened Elijah to then stand? My God is with me. My God gives me what I need. I can trust him as he stood against Ahab's idolatry and as he continued to proclaim the word of the Lord to God's people. That would have been a game changer for Elijah. So the gifts were important, but the who, the Lord, used the gifts perhaps even more so in Elijah's life to set him up to stand firmly for the Lord in the face of potential death, in the face of slaughter, to be a witness and a model for the Lord. We fast forward now to Jesus, to the New Testament. Jesus declared to his followers, I'm going to go to the Father, and I must go away because then the Holy Spirit will be sent because he is with you and he will be in you. And then we heard in today's reading from John chapter 14. Jesus declared that they would do even greater things than Jesus himself had done. I want that to wash over you for a second. By your faith in Jesus, the Spirit is with you and he lives in you. And by that Spirit in you, the Holy Spirit, you also will do greater things than even Jesus has done. Do you believe that? Do you truly believe that God can do those things? Because that's truth. The Holy Spirit has given you gifts, and as you are available to him, he will use those gifts and talents to impact others. A much more down-to-earth example came just before my son John went to college. I don't see Anna Kay this morning, but Anna Kay had a Bible. And Anna Kay sensed the Lord telling her to give the Bible away. And as she prayed about it, she thought, I like this Bible, but okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? The Lord told her to give it to my son, John. So the last Sunday that John was in church, Anna Kay said, the Lord told me to give you this Bible. Seems pretty simple, right? Well, is that the gift of wisdom? What is that gift that Anna Kay heard the word of the Lord and then obeyed? But she acted on it. John said, thanks. Packed it in his stuff, took it with him. Not knowing that a month into his semester, one of his best friends from Jacksonville had a friend on campus, and that friend began to ask a whole lot of questions about John's faith and about Gracie's faith. And she said, I've never read the Bible. And John went, oh, I have your Bible. Because Anna Kay gave it to me. She said, who's Anna Kay? Never mind. By the faithfulness, by being available to the Holy Spirit, God used Anna Kay to provide through John to this young woman in her journey. And it's not yet complete. I ask you to be praying for Emily as she reads the Word of God. He will use each of you. He may use what you have. He may give you what you don't have just in time in the lives of others. But he will use the gifts that you've received for the benefit and blessing of others. He'll also use those gifts to increase your faith as you walk with him and as you watch him do greater things than even Jesus did through you. In the midst of a cultural and political season where truth is elusive, you, as Jesus' followers, have the ultimate truth. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. That's the good news of the gospel. You know that. You know that. And the Holy Spirit does live in you. He has given you gifts. And as a member of his body, you have the opportunity to proclaim that good news through your life to a lost and broken world that has no idea what truth is. It seems nowadays that people are not shy to campaign for their chosen political candidate. My prayer is that you, as Christ's body, in this world, that you will campaign and proclaim just as confidently that Jesus is alive and that Jesus is Lord, and that you will participate with the who that is in you, the Holy Spirit, to bring that good news to a lost and broken and hurting world. Who is on the earthly thrones is ultimately irrelevant because Jesus is on his throne. His Spirit is within us. He has equipped us with his gifts. May we be his body. May you join me in boldly proclaiming the good news of salvation in Jesus to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.